When we want our children to learn, we might give them books, take them on trips, or even just help them to do their homework. But what about getting them to play an action-packed shooting video game? Well, it might not be the first thing to spring to mind, but Daphne Bevilier from the University of Rochester believes that these specific types of games can help attention, multitasking, and even eyesight. Kate Lamble met up with her at the AAAS conference in Chicago.
I am indeed very interested in how we can force the brain to be more plastic, to change so that we can develop new skills, gain new knowledge. And it's totally by surprise that we discovered that some types of video games seem to have such an effect. The video games we're talking about are probably not the video game you really think of as being mind-enhancing. They are the very fast-paced, action-packed shooter games where the name of the game is really to go after the bad guy, the zombies, and get to them before they get to you. But surprisingly, over the last 10 years, there's a number of groups that have shown that this game can have profound effects on how the brain is wired and help rewire and correct, for example, deficits like vision, enhance our attention, enhance our ability to do mental rotation, to give a few examples.
Why would video games be good for us in terms of eyesight and attention? Is it because these particular action games, they've got quite an immersive world, you're in a 3D world that you're having to navigate? Why would those have an effect specifically?
One of the key is to provide the player with enough variability that the game world can't be learned, but is reliable enough that you can make a prediction. So mini games are fun at the beginning and they probably have some effect very early on, but they are too simple. Your brain really learns them by heart, and once your brain automatizes a skill, it's not very useful, it doesn't transfer anymore. I can give you an example from people that play Tetris, the best Tetris players in the world. They're not very good at mental rotation in general. They're excellent at rotating Tetris-like shapes. But at this point, it's not very useful when you're trying to read your GPS and align your GPS with your heading direction when you're driving. So the key is to have a complex enough world where you can make predictions, have those predictions being pushed by pacing. And there's a whole list with about 20 different key components that we're actually testing now that are parts of those game. And when they come together is really where you get something which is bigger than the sum of the parts.
When you look at gaming, my brother, who's a big action gamer, unlike me, I play puzzle type games. He loves it. Would it have the same effect if I started playing action games, even though I don't necessarily enjoy them like he does?
So to actually establish the effect of action game in the lab, what we do is two steps. First, we check whether there is an effect by taking people that report playing those games and contrasting them with people that report not playing those games. But because we're really interested in using those games either for educational purposes or for rehabilitation of patients, then we do training study where we take people like you who don't like playing games and who don't like playing those games, and we force you to play those games. So we take a group of subjects and we force them to play entertainment, commercially available games. But one set of games are actually action-packed, fast-paced shooter game, and the other set are control games, also from the entertainment industry. So all of these games are actually quite engaging. People are ready to play for them, they dream about it. But what we see, it's not really the engagement which is important, it's really the game structure, the game mechanics itself that matters. And when we force people that don't want to play those games to play those games, they show the same benefits. So it's not that you want to play them, it's that you do play them.
So even though I might not enjoy it, it's still good for me. When you're looking at using these games for educational purposes, obviously action games like this, there's a whole entertainment industry and investment behind it. Without having that investment and that drive to create a successful monetizing game, is it possible to make an educational game that would have the same effect?
The issue of knowing how to align very good creative game design within the space of action games, which is actually right a costly game media, with research and how to fund research is a key one, and it's not entirely solved. But what we see that there are a few challenges to be addressed, and we're addressing them now actually by developing an action-packed, fast-paced video games adapted to children, which is age-appropriate. As you probably know, all of the commercially available action video games contain violence. But the game mechanics themselves don't have to be violent. You can actually develop games that are age-appropriate with the same game mechanics, just as never been done.
video games can cause addiction. We do see technology addiction in young children. Is there a certain balance between the positive effects they can have on us and moving into an addictive effect?
There are negative aspects of video games, and even within the positive, if you look at the study we do, the training study we do is about half an hour to an hour a day. So this is like 5 hours per week. Like if children were playing only 5 hours per week, a lot of parents would be happy. So even the beneficial aspects are no excuse for binging. But as researchers, we're very interested in what are the devices in the game mechanics that lead to negative impact and inform the industry and work with the industry on how these can be actually tailored to be responsibly used. So, for example, you can have games where there are night and day cycles, and that means you need to pause. So there are many devices that can be considered to actually help and get a responsible use and design of those games.
That's Kate Lamble talking to Daphne Bevilliers from the University of Rochester.